Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to The Positivity Effect. This is Dr. Tom. It's Thursday, and this is episode number 23, day two, with the awesome Derek Loudermilk. He's really ignited my love of travel. I really can't wait to take another trip. Today, we talk about some of Derek's core values. We talk about happiness and how you should approach it. And wrap up with an interesting conversation on charisma and how we could all be a little more charismatic in our own lives. I want to thank Derek again for coming on the show. Guys, you could check out what he's doing at DerekLoudermilk.com. Definitely check out his coaching page. So now it is my pleasure to introduce again Derek Loudermilk. Hey man, what's up, Derek? Welcome back. Glad to have you on again.
Hey Tom, day two.
We still got this Uber time difference, man. I should fly over to Bali. We should, you know, get a couple of drinks or something.
Exactly. Live interviews are even more fun.
Live interviews are even fun. What's the nightlife like in Bali?
We have a lot of dancing going on here. That's one thing. I didn't really dance much before I came here. And there's this, they call it ecstatic dance. It's basically a big sober dance party.
That's awesome.
And I've noticed that just regular dancing each week sort of really frees up other forms of expression. Like when I'm on a podcast, for example, I don't censor myself as much. I think it's largely because I'm, you know, just the other day I was looking crazy and goofy on the dance floor. So I know that, you know, nothing really is going to go that horribly wrong if I misspeak.
I agree, man. Like sometimes if you're dancing, like you just have to not care because, you know, everybody else that's watching you is probably thinking, man, I wish I was doing that. Like most people want to just let loose and relax, but they never give themselves the freedom to do that, to just like, because of that brain, man, that 6 inches between the ears, they just don't want to, you know, it's hard to let themselves let go.
And what I do is I close my eyes for the first 5 minutes. And then you're back to your room dancing by yourself when no one's watching. And you're like, okay, cool, I got this. And then you open your eyes. Oh my gosh, everyone's there. But you're already moving, so there's no turning back.
There's no turning back, yeah. So, all right. So, you know, recapping a little bit about yesterday, you know, we spoke about just your journey and how travel has been kind of interwoven, you know, into your life and who you are. And also, you know, your backstory of how, you know, you went through grad school and you became a scientist. And, you know, even though you made a big pivot and you're not doing that anymore, a lot of those skills you apply to everyday life. You apply to, you know, how you really look at life, you know, how you see life. You apply it to when you're taking a picture, you know, something as small as taking a picture. Or would I say something as big as taking a picture? And just the way that whatever you're taking a photo of, you know, how you actually view it and like you said, looking at a flower and how deeply and intricately you're looking at all the different layers. And, you know, and we also talked about, you know, not only like traveling, but how you're now helping other people take an idea and make it into an idea. And I think, like you said,
yeah, absolutely.
We were talking about that, all these things, just you kind of springboarding throughout your life and really at the end of the day, like now today we're sitting here, it's February and it's 2016, Derek, and who you are in 2016, it's like a process, you know. People always want to like just jump into something sometimes, and it doesn't always happen that way. It's like, it's, you have to grow as a human being. It takes time. It's a process. And, you know, I just want to quote you. It was a really awesome quote on your website. You said, I see travel. It's not a quote. I'm quoting you. I see travel as an investment in my ability to live well, to be comfortable being uncomfortable in new situations, to emphasize and think of other cultures and to appreciate the natural beauty and variety of the planet. I love being able to have crazy stories about late nights in strange places. And, you know, that is like just the more you travel, the more culture, all the different things you do in life, that gives color to your life, you know. And if you don't do these things, it's hard to, you know, especially being an entrepreneur, it's hard to be an entrepreneur if you don't have some culture and some color to your life, you know. A lot of people I talk to, they'll tell me about a difficult moment or something difficult they went through in life, you know, and that's how they're able to transition. And, you know, we talked about you, how everything you've done throughout your life has transitioned you to make the Art of Adventure podcast, you know. So let's talk a little bit more about the Art of Adventure and you know, when you got it, when you started it, and how's it going?
Yeah, so this podcast has been running a year and a half, and it's, you know, I try to embody the Art of Adventure lifestyle. You know, I've been living in Southeast Asia in, let's say, six different countries over the last 2 years: Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Singapore, Malaysia. Bali is where I've been based for about a year, and yeah, it's just a natural progression of basically trying to live my values. And some of the things that I value most of all are learning and teaching and curiosity and empowering other people. And so my intent was to create a vehicle that both was a viable business and fit all of those points, so that each day I would be, you know, if I'm curious about something, I get to research, and then I get to teach other people, whether it's through the podcast or through writing or through video. And so it was kind of a very designed and constructed job, and I only was able to realize that through sort of a lot of assessment of myself. You know, you can take online quizzes that tell you about yourself, tell you about your values, but also just spending time thinking about where you find enjoyment and where you are successful and the qualities that you bring that contribute to the world. I think a big part of adventure is how we contribute to the world. And so I just thought a lot about that stuff and tried to put it all together, and this is what came out.
that's a big word that you just said, you know, how you contribution, how you contribute to the world. And I think a lot of, you know, again, we talk about mindset a lot, and a lot of people, you know, they're comfortable with where they are in life. Maybe they have, you know, they have a comfortable salary. They have a good family. All the cards seem to be lined up, right? But maybe they don't feel fulfilled in that area of contribution. And, you know, that really has been, that's one of the most important things I think as humans that we have to do is that next level of, you know, not just contributing to our own circle of life, but contributing to the rest of the world. And when we're able to step more outside of ourselves and give back in some way, right? Like, what is, you know, for you, what has that experience been of just, you know, doing this podcast, connecting, helping people through, connecting with people, and also just like you said, from all your experiences and now giving back, you know, how has that impacted your life?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, once we have the privilege of no longer needing to really worry about food and shelter, it's kind of a large task that's set before us of self-actualization and with the search for happiness or accomplishment or satisfaction with our lives. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to figure out the formula that makes them happy. And I think that is a large experiment that you have to run on your life. If your career, you know, you're probably not going to get your career perfect on the first go. You try something that's interesting and you put your effort into it. And if it's not for you, you may want to be willing to pivot or try new things multiple times. The minimum there is not necessarily having a passion. You don't necessarily need to know exactly what your passion is, but you need to be curious about something or interested in a career, and then passion then develops through effort. I think the more time you spend working on something, I mean, I'm more passionate about teaching than I was when I first started, more passionate about podcasting. It's like going into those layers like we talked about in the first day, the layers of observation and science. Once you start getting into a career or a topic or whatever it is, it just gets so much more rich.
Would you say, you know, when you hear the word gratitude in your mind, like that's what comes to your mind is teaching? You know, being grateful in your life, you know, like something that you're really grateful for right now is just that contribution and how you're able to give back.
I really enjoy giving back, but I really enjoy the relationship between a teacher and someone learning from them. And it's a satisfying thing to know that you've provided an answer or you've empowered someone. A lot of there's very subtle teaching where I'm not giving an answer to a coaching client, but rather I'm having them discover what, you know, they already knew, but we're just getting it out into the world, you know, like figuring out the frameworks or the steps that they need to take to achieve what they want. It's sort of like, you know, you're fishing. You're getting the ideas out of them that were already inside of them in the first place.
You know, what's like a particular, you know, what comes to mind, you know, like a particular story of someone that you've coached, and it was just like, for you, it was like, that was awesome. Like, you know, we were able to get through to them. We were able to help them figure out, you know, make a change. And it's like, and they're coming back saying, you know, Derek, thank you. Like, this has been amazing.
Well, here's something that anyone can do. You don't even have to be a coach, but I find that so many people, you know, I'll say, yeah, I think you can be successful. I believe in you, and I know you can do it. And simply having that, just one person in their corner that says, yes, go for it. So many people have said, you know, that is enough for me to launch an entire business. I thought that I could do it, but no one gave me permission until you did. We can do that for our friends and families. Like, we can be the person that gives them permission to take a risk. And it's such a simple exercise of empowering someone by supporting them.
And what's kind of crazy, too, is when you start to do that, like, you're able to take more risk in your own life. Like, because you start to empower people. And you could start small, you know. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, yeah, it makes sense in my own life too. I can make, you know, I'm already making some risk, and I can take bigger chances, and I can grow myself even more. You know, it's like that. When we're growing, I think we're happy. When we have progress in our life, you know, we're happy. When we're contributing to the world, we're happy. You know, it's not about just having that, like, you know, finding that perfect space of happiness. I don't think we ever find it. But the way we get to it is through those things like progress and contribution and getting outside ourselves and helping others. And that's, I think, when we really find that sweet spot.
Yeah. And as an adventurer, I go out and I do something crazy. I, you know, climb some mountains, or I, you know, motorbike across Vietnam. And then it's my responsibility to share the story about that. You know, what were the things that I struggled with, you know, struggling on the mountain, for example, with simply putting one foot in front of the other, or even struggling with why I'm up there in the first place, keeping the group spirits high, whatever it is. And that, when you hear that, first of all, you think, okay, here's the possibility. I've heard what other people are doing, and I can kind of see where the bar is set. Because if you don't know where the bar is, you might not jump that high. So it's great to hear other people's examples. And then another part of the storytelling is you don't have to experience the hardship that I went through getting lost in monsoon season, trying to find a hotel in a language I didn't speak, to understand the fact that at the very end of the day, on the Ho Chi Minh Highway, the storm broke, the rainbow came out, and at the end of the rainbow, there was like one little guest house, and you know, the Paulo Coelho, I think, says the universe will conspire to help you once you have a goal. And you know, you can learn from other people's struggles and not have to go through them on your own just by hearing about them.
Yeah, like finding a mentor. You know, for you, you're a mentor to people that are looking to travel. It's like they can speed that process up and the learning curve like so much quicker than just trying to go out and figure it out on their own. You know, and it's like they're still doing it anyway. Like you still have to go out and experience on your own to kind of grow, you know, to grow as a person, but they're able to pick up all these little tips and tricks, and it just makes the experience that much better. I think of myself like visiting a family member who lives in Tokyo, going there and having that person live there just made my experience like pretty awesome, because I was able to find the best restaurants and all the best places, you know, and that was kind of cool. Definitely.
And yet you still have your own unique experience. You know, even if you follow the guidebook, it's going to be yours.
Yes, yes. And so, Derek, you know, I want to transition a little bit. You know, we were talking a little bit before we got on the call about charisma, and to do a podcast is not easy. You know, even though it's no one's in the room except ourselves when we're recording, you know, just in your mind, you're thinking that there are going to be people listening to that, and you have to have a certain level of charisma, you know. So for you, like thinking about the science behind it, and you as a scientist, how does someone really, when they're thinking about it, they're like, you know, I need to have, you know, maybe they're looking to find a new love relationship, or they're looking to connect better with their coworkers, you know, how does someone build more charisma into their life?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things you can do to signal charisma, and there's also the underlying just confidence in yourself. And so that's really the place to start, is with self-acceptance. We talked in the day one about making mistakes and being okay with making mistakes. And when you are in a situation where you're uncomfortable, where you're stressed, getting up in front of a room or something like that, simply thinking of people who love you in your life, your mother and father, or even imagining like Jesus or Buddha looking after you, taking care of you, forgiving you for any mistakes, really helps smooth the way for you to not be in your head so much, and be more authentic. So the internal part, I think, is the most important part. There's also a lot of external cues that we, as humans, we pick up on body language. It's up to 93% of communication at times. Wow. Is the nonverbal. And so getting a handle on how people are perceiving you physically and auditorily is another way that you can signal charisma to people. And so you mentioned podcasting, so let's just talk about the audible version. You can vary the pacing and tone of your speech. You can get more quiet, you can get more firm. One of the biggest indicators of charisma is not having an up talk at the end of your sentence. You know, the when we have a question, we our voice inflection raises at the end of the sentence. But when we are like a judge pronouncing a sentence, like you are sentenced to 99 years in prison, it's a statement and it ends in a down. That is a sort of universally recognized signal of confidence. So if you can train yourself to speak firm statements and end your sentences strongly, people will, first of all, they know when they can start speaking. And they'll listen to your points when they know that you're going to have a nice conclusion.
That's so true. It's really just, you know, that first step too is like we spoke about, is that risk, is that, you know, just stepping into the, if you're nervous about it, that's actually a good place to be, because then you know it's something, it's an adventure, and you can step into that. You know, if it makes you a little nervous, it's something new, it's something that you can now train yourself in.
Here's something that I just recently learned that I'm really, really excited about. Anxiety and being nervous about something is the same physical state as excitement. It's the same sort of fight or flight response. This is research that came out of Harvard Business School recently, I think. And you can actually transform your state of anxiety into excitement just by saying, "I'm excited," or "Let's get excited about this."
That's amazing.
And you will actually, because you're still in the same physical state, you don't need to be like, you don't need to say calm down, calm down. You can actually just switch it over to excitement. And then you're up in front of the room, you're sweating, you're a little shaky, but you're excited instead of anxious.
So that's a big part of it is your actual state. You know, you can change your physical state. I think Tony Robbins talks a lot about that. Like, you know, right now, like, doing this interview, like if I could, my state can be completely different talking to you. If I was like completely, you know, slumped over and like my shoulders were rolled forward and maybe I had the lights off or something, you know, something ridiculous. And I would be actually in a completely different, you know, state of mind, literally how, you know, based on my physical appearance.
Yeah. And so a lot of us use smartphones and, actually using a smartphone the normal way that people do it makes your body smaller. You sort of hunch over and tip your head, which is a weak body position, a non-dominant sort of body position, and it signals to your nervous system to put you in sort of a stressed or weaker state. So to counteract that, you need to do body postures that take up a lot of space. There's Amy Cuddy's TED Talk, which is, I think, the second most popular TED Talk about power posing, basically putting your arms in the air or putting your hands on your hips and just really taking a lot of physical space, leaning back in your chair with your arms behind your head. And that'll boost your testosterone, reduce stress hormone cortisol, and have a lot of positive effects. So if you use a smartphone, you got to balance that out with some real power posing.
I think that's a great thing to think about. Like if someone's about to go into like an interview, they can, you know, right before the interview, go into, I don't know, the bathroom or somewhere where there's no one, and just like literally go crazy, like stand in a Superman pose, say yes, like scream, like get pumped up, you know, stand there for like 60 seconds, like looking like a powerful man, powerful woman, and then boom, just like you're gonna kick that interview off. Like the person's not even gonna know what hit him. Like it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah. And so when I first started studying ways of just signaling more charisma or competence was when I was teaching in grad school, teaching microbiology. And so the first two semesters, the student evaluations came back at the end of the year. I was given like a 4 out of 5 in terms of overall rating from the students. Not bad. And then I did all of these tools. I got better with my eye contact, my posture, my voice and intonation and all of these things. End of the semester, the grades come back, 4.98 out of 5, teaching exactly the same course. The only difference is that all of these little charismatic techniques that I'm doing had the perception that I was a much better teacher for the students, which was my own little experiment in how this stuff is effective.
Very interesting. So guys, you know, we're talking about the charisma thing. I would just re-listen to that one little part that he just said. Like that's an incredible experiment, man. That you were able to see that change, that much change. That's awesome. Crazy.
Yeah.
So Derek, we're wrapping up. We're coming to the end. You know, before we kind of let everybody go and we talk about where they can connect with you, tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you're now kind of coaching others, you know, specifically also just teaching others how to podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited about that. We have a live podcasting group, and I run a virtual group, sort of like a mastermind It's where we try to get people who want to have a new show, we get their show launched in 1 month. So it's kind of an accelerated thing. And we meet at my house here in Bali. And,
that's awesome.
Just sort of, you know, help each other brainstorm, come up with names, share guest suggestions. And it's a really fun project. And I get to share my love of this medium, which allows me to connect with amazing people all over the world.
And now if someone, like, say they live in the States, do you provide kind of like virtual coaching as well? If you know, if they have
yeah,
to?
So right now, I've got people in Australia, Europe, the awesome. States, Bali. And yeah, we do video calls, and it's so much fun to be able to have that. You know, like we were talking awesome. Before about the miracle of Skype, but gets me every time.
I know, it's crazy. That's awesome, Derek. So hit us with it, man. What's the best place if someone's looking to reach out to you to get some coaching on podcasting? Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, you can. So if you want someone to tell you, yes, you can do it, whether it's go on an adventure to travel, or if you want some coaching around business or podcasting, you can email me directly and I'll answer it. So that's Derek@DerekLoudermilk.com. And then I also post a lot of my adventure photos on Instagram and Twitter. So that's @DerekLoudermilk on those two.
That's awesome. All right, man. I want to give you one last question. If you were suddenly at the end of your life and you were reflecting on all that you've been through, all that you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
That's a really good question. This last weekend, I got to call all of my friends. They were all together for one of their bachelor parties. They had rented a ski lodge in California, and I didn't get to go this year because I'm over here in Bali saving my travel days. But I have a really close knit group of friends from high school, from university, from all the places I've lived. And part of the reason they're at their ski weekend in the first place is because 10 years ago, I started this tradition of getting together once a year for a ski trip. And when what I've realized that I've done in my life is I've created a series of events, parties, experiences, trips, where I invite other people to come along and enjoy life with me. And so I think creating memories for other people is something that other people appreciate, and I appreciate that about myself as well.
That's awesome, man. I definitely resonate with that. That's really awesome, man. So Derek, thank you so much for coming on, man. I've been inspired. I want to get myself over to Bali. That's awesome. I could definitely say everybody's listening is like going to want to turn this off and, you know, quit their job and start traveling, man. It's awesome. So cool. And just let you know, they're well aware that they can find everything that we mentioned. Just go to positivityeffect.com, click the podcast tab, and put Derek's name right in the search bar, and his show notes page will pop up right away. So Derek, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, Tom, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.